few years ago, I remember we were having a kids event back in the fellowship hall. And it was, I think, our fall festival. And we had advertised it on the sign. And this young woman came in with her child and introduced herself, and I introduced myself and Scott, and her child started getting involved in the activities and started participating in the games and the snacks, and there were people coming up and talking to her. And so I came up to her a little bit later, and I wanted to get to know her a little bit more and introduce her to Deep River Friends. And so so after the conversation went a little bit farther, I said, "So how did you find out about our church?" And she stopped. She says, "Is this a church?" I said, "Well, yes, it is." She said, "I would have never known. I just saw the thing on the sign. I just thought there was a party going on here and for kids, and I stopped and I came." And I said, "Well, I'm glad you're here." Now, I share all that to say, it's okay that she didn't see us as a church. That's kind of the simplicity of Quakers. Sometimes you drive by and our simplicity is you're not sure what you're walking into or exactly what it may be. But the other piece to this is the church different than any other organization or institution? And I think it is. And I think it's called to be that. I'm a believer in common grace in the sense that I think God graces all of life, and there's organizations that are not churches, there are organizations that are not religious institutions, that God works through them to accomplish good in this world, good in this life. I believe that happens, and you all are very much a part of those kind of places. The places you work, the places you inhabit, the places that you fulfill your vocation, I believe there's a common grace that can be manifested in that. But I also believe that there is this special calling, this special place, as Paul writes, God put everything under Christ's feet, made him head of everything in the church, which is his body, the church is the fullness of Christ. So over the next few weeks, I want to have, when I say few, next 2 or 3 weeks, have a conversation around our identity as a meeting. And I hope it doesn't sound as heady as it sounds, because I want this to feel both personal at an organizational level and at a personal level, because I think it's important for our sense of identity as a faith community here in this community and what that means. You have in your bulletin, on the right-hand side, actually this identity statement that we approved in our monthly business meeting a couple months ago. The part in bold is the part I want to focus on a little bit this morning, but let me read it in total. Deep River Friends Meeting is a Christ-centered faith community gathered around the leadership of the living Christ. We seek to live in the way of Jesus through our faithfulness to his leadings and our Quaker testimonies of simplicity, peace, integrity, community, equality, and service. We have no greater allegiance than to the kingdom of God, and we have no greater privilege than serving our community and making God's love real. Now, that's a lot. I realize that. It's always hard to capture a few key points in a whole sentence. And I say it's an identity statement because I think it's living and breathing and organic in the sense that this is where we are now. This is who we have come to in this place. As we grow, as we exist, as we move into the future, as we discern, who knows? Maybe things will be added, maybe things will be taken away. Our identity changes as we grow in life. Your identity may be different now than it was a few years ago. It may be different in the years to come, but at least it tries to describe where we are right now. So when we look at it, I think the big thing that I want to at least have this conversation around is, what does it mean to be a Christ-centered faith community? Because that word Christ-centered can have a lot of loaded theological meaning in it. In fact, over the last few years, I have been part of groups, I have been part of discussions where Christ-centered has become kind of a buzz phrase of, do you have the correct theology? Do you have the right theology? And sometimes it's been used as a way to say, well, who's in and who's out, or maybe more, who's right and who's wrong? I don't think that's really what it was intended to be. I would say Christ-centered is less about some theological proposition, and it's more about a person, a living person who is present among us and here to teach his people himself, as Quakers would say. But there's another word I want to use to kind of describe it, and that is it. To be Christ-centered is to have Christ as our organizing principle. Now, let me unpack it just for a few moments. Every person, every organization, every institution has what's called an organizing principle. In very simple ways to describe it, look at your closet. Your closet at home probably has an organizing principle. It may be everything is organized according to color. It may be everything is organized according to season. It may be that you have organized everything according to piles. My kids think I organize everything according to decades. Hello, Dad. The 90s called. They want their clothes back, all right? Everything has an organizing principle. Sometimes when I walk into a business, I think in many ways I can tell what their organizing principle is. Sometimes if you look at their waiting room, the organizing principle is order, it's professionalism, it's formality, it's cleanliness, I guess. And others, I walk in, I'd say, the organizing principle is, hey, whatever, here's a few magazines, we'll get to this in a little bit, it's very relaxed. Every organization, institution organizes around this organizing principle, as do our lives as well. Stephen Covey, who wrote volumes about personal life and personal development, describes it this way when he defines organizing principle. For many years, I have felt and seen the need for an organizing principle in life, a principle that would enable us to get a handle on things, unravel confusion, clarify relationships, get to the bottom line fast. The principle would have to be simple but not simplistic. It must also be capable of serving as the directing or controlling center of a person's life, or I would add, maybe even a congregation's life. So this is what I want to offer. What this identity statement says is the organizing principle of our life together as a faith community from the get-go is this: we are Christ-centered. In other words, who we are and how we live flows out of this center of understanding the mind of Christ, of living as Christ would have us live, of being who Christ would have us be, of reflecting in our actions and our interactions and our relationships and our mission, the ongoing life and ministry of Christ. Now, it asks a question, I guess you could say, so are there other organizing centers that could exist if we didn't have Christ? Well, absolutely. I could see places being program-centered. They're organized around a menu of programs with no real ideas to why they have them. I've seen some be very traditionalism-centered, organized about how it's always been done from the past and that it's been handed down. Some places are very issue-cause-centered. They're organized around various causes and issues. And all these are fine and good, but they begin to move into the center rather than Christ being this center of where we listen and exist and move and pay attention to. And sometimes we can be comfort-centered, organized around what is most comfortable and what is most manageable. I guess what I'm saying is this. To be Christ-centered is to embrace this truth that early friends passed down from generations to generations. Christ is here to teach his people himself. And we as followers of Christ seek to listen to Christ in all that we do and all that we are and all that we program and all that we minister and the ways that we serve and the decisions that we make, that Christ as our organizing principle speaks to that and leads us and guides us in the way that we need to go. And that's where we turn, and that's where we get our understanding of who we need to be and how we need to be. I think in my own experience too, the living Christ as an organizing principle becomes necessary even in our own personal lives. I have found that there have been times when I have had other organizing principles in my own life, my agenda or my own plans, or Maybe there have been times when my own organizing principle has been my need to have my own way. I've known people who their organizing principle has maybe been an ongoing sense of pain or an ongoing sense of woundedness. For some, the very center of who they are, their organizing principle has been maybe anger or bitterness, or it's been in some ways a sense of insecurity about who they are. When Christ becomes my center, my organizing principle, my life takes on a whole different look and feel for me. It becomes solid. It feels more centered and secure. My life becomes more focused on actions like reconciliation, forgiveness, patience, peacemaking, serving, and wholeness. And I'm actually able to live with a more generous spirit and live with a deeper appreciation for what others can follow and for what others can offer. I shared this personal illustration a while back, and I want to share it again because it's what was very real to me. It's very simplistic, but it became very profound. I was reading the Sermon on the Mount. We've been doing that in our Disciple Bible study. And I was reading this a few months ago, maybe about a year ago. And it dawned on me that the Sermon on the Mount is not what Jesus intended for us to do if we were super disciples, if we were wanted extra brownie points, to be quite honest with you. It's how God intended life to be if we lived as the kingdom of God as our organizing principle, if we lived as Jesus as our center. This is how God intended life to be and how we experienced freedom and abundance of life. And then I began reading the part where Jesus talked about, be careful about calling people idiots. It's in there. And about having contempt for people. And I began to do a sort of replay in my mind about how many times I had thought of somebody as an idiot. How I had had contempt for them. Because I didn't like their ideas, or because they believed differently than me, or their theology was just all messed up. And I began to pay attention as to what it did to me and what it did to me inwardly. And what I realized was once I made that shift, I saw they had nothing to offer me. They had no value to me. The only value they had to me was that they were a target for my contempt. And I began to realize that if my organizing principle is going to be Jesus, then I need to pay attention to those moments. And I began to make a shift and make it as best as I could a practice to no longer think of anybody as an idiot or to no longer hold a person in contempt. Now, you may think that that sounds very overly simplistic, but maybe it is, and maybe we make the spiritual journey too hard sometimes. But I think what we find is when Christ is our organizing principle, that center, that we find there are places that we're invited to rethink who we are and how we live and how we live that out. And how each of you do that, that's really up to you. But I know for me it made a profound shift. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Every day is a battle. And not just driving on the road, having conversations with people is this battle. But I remember and I think through exactly what it reminded me of. There's a pastor named Richard Dahlstrom who wrote about this whole idea of Jesus as the center, and this is what he has to say. While Jesus walked on earth, he offered humanity a perfect display of human potential. Humans, Jesus taught us, can cross social divides, be instruments of healing and reconciliation, challenge others to choose the high road, lay down their lives as a means of loving and blessing others, and live courageously, generously, and joyfully, always allowing nothing less than the life of God to pour through us like a river in desert lands of despair and darkness. So I circle back around and I say, this is what it means to live Christ-centered. Move away all of the theological overlay and just invite yourself to say, how is Christ the organizing principle of our life together? How are we being led by Christ in what we do and who we are and how we serve? A few years ago, when Dad pastored at Dublin Friends in Dublin, Indiana, I would take my friends, us probably seven or eight right about then, and he would be working in the church. Church was right across the alley from the house. And I would take my friends around the church. It was actually a very big brick edifice right there in the town of Dublin, about 900 people. And I would take them around. I'd say, my dad owns this place. He'd be back there in the office working. They'd say, no, he doesn't. Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you. So we'd go back, and I'd introduce my friends to my dad. And he didn't know I'd said that. And I'd bring him back. I said, I told you he owns this. And they're like, wow, I can't believe your dad owns this whole place. Well, yeah. Well, you can go now. I'm done with you, you know. Now, if my dad were sitting here, he would cringe at the thought that had ever alluded that he owned that place. That is far beyond his disposition. But I use that as a way to say, when Christ is our organizing center as individuals or as a meeting, we realize that this is who owns this place, Christ. This is who owns it from the beginning, from the present to the future. It's Christ. He owns it all. The church is the fullness of his body. It is the fullness of his presence in this world. And the organizing principle, again, I'll say, of early friends was Christ is here to teach his people himself. He is here among us, and he is here to speak to our condition, both corporately and individually. And that's the invitation I make to each one of us, too, is what is your condition when you reflect on it? Is Christ the center of your condition? Is Christ the organizing principle? Or is the organizing principle maybe a sense of woundedness in your life? Is your organizing principle bitterness or contempt or anger? Is your organizing principle your work? Is your organizing principle having more stuff? I don't know what it is. But what is the organizing principle, the center of your life? And how does it involve Christ? There's a Celtic prayer. When I say Celtic, think Celtic. They just pronounce it Celtic. But there's a Celtic prayer that goes like this. A Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which Christ loves, a voice through which Christ speaks, and a hand through which Christ helps. I want us to have a conversation about this. Please, don't take my word. Have a conversation about what does it mean for us to be a Christ-centered faith community in which we follow the leadership of the living Christ. What does it mean for you? I'm always wrestling with what it means for me, both individually and as your pastor. I'll tell you this. As I was reflecting this morning in our silent worship at 9 a.m., and when I say God spoke to me, I take that very seriously. God revealed to me in a way that I kind of had this aha moment. This is my organizing principle as your pastor, as the one who serves you. In the bulletin, we always have that verse on the left side, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 from the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, I always thank God for you, for I'm thankful that your faith is flourishing and you are all growing in love for each other. My organizing principle is simply this, that you flourish in your faith and that you grow in love. When I get up every morning, I'm thinking about how can I help us flourish more in our faith and grow in love. When I sit down and prep messages, I think, how can I help us flourish in faith and grow in love? When I go about just the mundane tasks, that's what I think about. I've realized at 55, I can only take so much to think about, so I've simplified it. But that's my organizing principle. It's my center. And that comes, I hope, from a deep place in Christ. What is your organizing principle? What is your center? What is ours as a faith community? And how can we faithfully live out the calling of Christ in this place, this neighborhood, and beyond?